Mr. Barrett, welcome to the German Dream Project.
Thank you.
Mr. Barrett, you are the former values coordinator for the World Bank, and since writing your bestseller, Liberating the Corporate Soul, in the late 90s, you have become one of the world's most sought-after experts for how to establish a more visionary culture within large corporations. Now, before we start talking about how your expertise may relate to Germany and to a new German dream, could you briefly describe why you think the internal culture of a large organization is so important to its overall success?
I have been working on this topic of the relationship between culture and performance since about 1997. The thesis I had at that time was, when organizations care about their employees, care about their customers, care about society, and have strong positive values, this will be good for business. Now, I have to explain to you that what I did was I developed a way of measuring culture by mapping values to 7 levels of organizational consciousness. These 7 levels of consciousness apply to individuals, organizations, and nations.
Can you quickly summarize these 7 levels?
Sure, yeah. It's really built on Maslow's work and extended. Maslow developed this hierarchy of needs. Well, I've changed that into a hierarchy of consciousness, and I've expanded it. So you've got survival, relationships, self-esteem, followed by self-actualization. And I've expanded the sense of self-actualization into, at a personal level, finding meaning, making a difference in the world, and service to humanity. And at each of these levels of consciousness, individuals, groups, or nations have a larger sense of inclusivity. So that in the first 3 levels, survival, relationship, self-esteem, it's very much about me. It's about self-interest. When we get to that self-actualization level, which is typical in democratic countries where I balance my needs against the needs of other people, then we are able to move into a deeper level of internal cohesion. And that internal cohesion comes from having a shared vision and shared values and shared behaviors. Now, what I have found so far is that there are not too many countries in the world that have actually reached that level of internal cohesion, that 5th level of consciousness, even though they display some aspects of the levels of consciousness, level 6, which is strategical alliances and partnerships with other nations, and level 7, which is thinking about social justice, future generations, environmental issues, etc., etc.
For many people in Germany, when they hear all these trust-evoking terms like corporate culture or corporate vision, they think of this as just one more manipulative trick of employers to squeeze out more efforts from their employees. So, with all due respect, are you just helping corporations to put a socially conscious camouflage around their same old mission of making the greatest profits? Or are corporations that you consult really starting to dream a bigger and socially more inspiring dream?
Well, the answer is both. Yes, guess what? These companies are performing much better in terms of their financial performance and shareholder value. But guess what? Also, at the same time, the indicators such as employee fulfillment and customer satisfaction are also going up. Now, what we have found is that when companies are, manipulative around values and behaviors, they get found out. If you say you espouse these values, trust, openness, honesty, integrity, and then the behaviors that you see don't align with those values, people see through it right away. So whilst there might be a tendency for some people to think, cultural capital, the new frontier of competitive advantage, let's take advantage of that and let's tell people what a great culture we've got. But if they don't actually have that culture, you're wasting your time.
Some of these global companies that you are advising have budgets that are larger than those of whole nations, which leads us to our core question, really. If your techniques work for renewing the culture of these large multinational corporations, could they also be applied to whole nations and to how the citizens of a nation feel about themselves and about their country?
That's exactly where I'm going with our current work. I'm about to begin a series of meetings with a group of thought leaders in terms of nations and national consciousness to discover whether, in fact, some of these techniques that we've been talking about, used in organizations can actually be applied in nations. Already, I'm pretty sure that a lot of what we have been doing in the organizations to transform cultures can actually be done in nations. And so this is a topic which is really close to my heart at the moment, because I do believe that one of the ways we can create a better world is not just by shifting the beliefs and values in organizations, but also shifting the values and beliefs in nations too.
Mr. Barrett, how would you, with everything that you know, that you have experienced in your life about Germany, how would you envision a new shared dream that could help to inspire Germany and give it a sense of having a bright future? Which new dream should Germany dream to unlock its untapped or undiscovered potentials?
You know, when you use the word dream, it sounds very much like the word that I use in organizations, which is not dream, but vision. What is the vision that you hold? And I think that for me, when you say what should be the German dream, I can't tell you what the German dream should be, but I can tell you the German people know. They may not know, how shall I put it, consciously, but they need to be invited into the process of defining what that vision or dream looks like, both internally and externally. What would it look like 20 years from now in Germany if the values and beliefs that are currently held by the German people were to be fully implemented in terms of the culture that they would like to live in? My dream is that everyone's invited to participate, the rich and the poor, the young and the old. My dream is that you can get into that conversation, because out of that conversation will come the German dream, not Richard Barrett's dream. You know, this is a journey. It's a journey of self-discovery for the population and for the leaders of a nation, too. It's about having the willingness from the leadership to involve and empower the people in the nation to openly express that dream. And by the way, doing this for different age groups, because I'm sure, as we find in organizations, that different age groups come to these questions about how they see the current situation and how they'd like it to be. They come to it with their existing belief structures.
Transforming entrenched habits can be very difficult. What is it actually that you're doing to transform companies or large organizations for the better? What steps are you taking with them?
Transformation happens when you have a conversation that you've never had before. And that's what I tell the people I work with in organizations. The starting place is always to find out where we are now. What are the personal values that people in the nation hold, and how do they see the current culture of the nation, and how would they like it to be? Because this information starts a conversation that has never taken place before. And simply in the conversation are the seeds of transformation, especially when you are able to separate out the gaps in terms of different age groups, for example, or gender, or even financial differences. Do poor people have the same dreams as the rich people? Do they see the same gaps as the rich people? Well, the answer is no. They see things differently. We found that out from mapping the values of communities. What's striking about Germany is the coming together of the East and West after so many years of separation. Right in there, you'll have differences in dreams, and it's important to involve the whole population in this discussion.
Let's just pretend that you were one of these Germans.
Yes.
What would be the first topic of German culture that you personally would address if you had this conversation?
Well, now I am speaking from inexperience, because I am not a member of the German culture.
That's why we called you.
So I'm going to give you my perspective. I see in Germany a very strong positive level 3 consciousness in terms of order, but I also see the downside, which is this very strong sense of hierarchy and need for control. What that does, it blocks innovation, it blocks creativity. And for me, from a business perspective, I see this as one of the key issues that Germany needs to address if it is to continue to grow as a powerful economic force in the world.
Mr. Barrett, it is often observed that we Germans have difficulty in, as you said, in professional risk-taking. From all of your experience as a consultant, what would you suggest we do to have confidence in taking the risks needed to realize our dreams?
Well, risk taking is the counterpoint, if you like, to the control. I'm not an advocate of huge risks. What I am an advocate is of building sustainability and then taking risks on the edge of that sustainability. Now, my opinion is that Germany already is quite a resilient nation. It is also already quite a sustainable nation and therefore could afford to take more risks, particularly in business, than they do. I think it comes back down to loosening the controls that deal with status so that people who are in the lower echelons, let me put it that way, of a business organization are empowered to bring forth their ideas, and the leaders are much more open to looking at them from, well, what are the opportunities that we see here rather than what are the problems?
Now, what vision, again, to come back to that, what vision would you recommend to Germany in order to balance that sense of order and discipline that can lead to such stifling bureaucracies?
Well, I could say it in one phrase, but I need to talk about it more, you know, and it's almost lighten up. I don't mean lighten up in terms of shining lights, but I mean lighten up in terms of, ease some of that control, ease some of that hierarchy, make it less. It's difficult, but you know, you get into that new conversation about, my gosh, what do I have to give up to get what I want? And that's the starting point of a conversation, because yeah, we're talking about transformation here. We're talking about a shift in consciousness. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But it becomes easier if people get to the point of saying, well, perhaps I'm part of the problem. Then there is an opening for a new conversation that hasn't happened before. This is something that we need to begin to tackle in nations. It's new territory. I don't think anybody's ever gone there before in terms of systematically, say, mapping the values of nations, mapping what is the dream from different constituencies, and then saying, now let's have a national conversation around what it would be like to live these dreams that we all have.
It is often debated whether a nation gives its people a dream or if the collective dreams of citizens create the dream for their country. What do you think about the importance of a country's individual dreamers?
Here's the interesting thing. When nations get to a certain level of economic activity, in other words, average people are able to survive nicely, to live in a certain amount of comfort, the masses move into what I call self-actualization. Now, what's happening in the world right now is that there are many nations, particularly in the Western nations, where the masses are beginning to self-actualize in the sense of own their freedom because they have democracy, they have open press. They can actually question their leaders and say, I'm sorry, no, this isn't where we want to go, this is where we're going to go. And that's what true democracy is. Unfortunately, we don't have what I would call true democracy in too many nations. We have what I call pseudo-democracy. I can describe it quite simply by looking at the United Kingdom and USA. In the United Kingdom, they still have a House of Lords in the Parliament, not elected democratically, and overrepresents the establishment, the Church of England, the monarchy, etc. So in that sense, we don't have, in my opinion, true democracy in the United Kingdom, nor do we have true democracy in the United States, because the democratic process in the United States is pretty much hijacked by the powerful business leaders. And don't forget, women only got the vote in the 1920s in most of European countries. We don't have true democracy. We still have a lot of vested interests that tend to hijack the process from the background.
May we ask, have bigger personal dreams been a driving force in your own life?
My whole life, no. The last 10 to 15 years have been driven by this idea that consciousness or values and behaviors, if you want to make it more practical, are changing on the planet right now. And for the past 10 to 15 years, I have been driven internally to provide methods and techniques that will allow that new consciousness to emerge. That's, you know, basically why I show up at work each day. That's my dream, to facilitate that movement in consciousness which will create a better world for everybody.
Mr. Barrett, thank you so much for dreaming with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.